Notice in verse 8 now of chapter 7 what Daniel says. He says, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes, like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. You see, our attention now is directed to the ten horns. And notice, they do not represent a fifth kingdom. They grow out of the head of the fourth beast. And they're the last development of the fourth beast. You see, in the toes you have iron and clay. The iron is still there. Rome is still there. But clay, the weakness is there. And I think that very candidly we see today that type of a weakness in a democracy. I think that you have the iron with autocratic rule of one man, and then you have the clay, the mob, the crowd, democracy. And we feel that democracy is great stuff. And we talk today about the freedom that we have, and thank God we do have freedom. But very frankly, it's almost a joke today to talk about how important John Q. Public is. Now, you and I are not very important if you really want to know the truth. Now, every now and then when some man's running for office, time for election, all the politicians, they come out, get on TV, and tell you and me how important we are and how wonderful we are, how educated we are, and how knowledgeable we are. We are really, and maybe I ought not to include you, but I find my little crowd, we're rather stupid. We think that our vote counts. And to begin with, we don't have a chance of choosing who's going to be president of the United States. They put up two men. I didn't pick either one of them. I'll be very frank with you today. Ever since I was a young fellow, 21 years old, I have never voted for the man I wanted to vote for. He wasn't running. I always had to vote against a man. That's the way I've always voted. But they tell me how important I am. I've had very little to do with choosing anybody. And I find out that these different lobbies, oh, they move. And somebody's making choices that I have nothing to do with. You see, the politician has to, if he's going to stay in office, he's got to appeal to this minority group. And he appeals to that minority group and this minority group. And he gives them all that they want. And when he does, there's not much left for me, and I have a notion, not much left for you. I have to pay high taxes. Don't misunderstand. I'm not crying. I thank God for the liberty I had. But friends, as I said last time, I think we've been brainwashed, if you want to know the truth. And God's ideal government is never a democracy. It is the worst kind of a dictatorship. And when I say worst, I mean by that, it is a real dictatorship. When Jesus Christ rules on this earth, friend, you know, he's not going to ask you or anybody else what they want done. He's going to do it. He's going to make the choice. This earth's going to be run according to the way he wants to run it, not the way you and I want to run it. And that's one reason that you and I better be conformed to his image, because it's going to be very uncomfortable. I have somebody ruling like that, a dictator, and he's just doing it the way he wants to do it, and he's not asking us, and if we're in rebellion against him, it's not going to be pleasant. That's the reason that he's going to put out of his kingdom everything that offends. We're to bow to him today, and that's God's ideal form of government. It's terrible, as we read here about both Gibbon and Dr. Culver. They said when this Roman government fell into the hands of one man, it was terrible. And that's the reason that Mary and Joseph, they had to go down to Bethlehem to enroll, and Jesus is born out there in a stable. I thank God it was private, but it was out of that inn. But she shouldn't have been traveling. But after all, what does Caesar Augustus care about babies? All he's interested in babies is that they grow up to be men, be in his army. That's all he's concerned about, and all he's interested in is taxes. And may I say, I don't think things have changed very much since then. Man's vaunted boast today has no foundation, in fact, at all. And Rome still lives. It just fell apart. And now somebody's got to get these horns and put them back together again. And he says there was a horn that came along. Now, Rome fell apart because of internal corruption and rottenness and drunkenness. We're going to come back to that again, by the way. Now, all three of these great world empires, in fact, all four of them went down because of drunkenness. And today, why, we say drugs are a problem, but liquor is legal. Who are we kidding? Have you been brainwashed today? How many people they consider a social drink? There's nothing wrong with that. My friend, there are 9 million alcoholics that are trying to hold jobs today. That's part of our problem in this country right now. That doesn't include the number of women that are drunks today, and you can't get those figures because that's kept undercover, you see, until she either commits suicide or has to be put in a mental institution. That's the picture of America in this dark hour in which we live. Now, will you notice that Rome fell apart? And I've already given this, but let me give it again. Rome was like Humpty Dumpty. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's men and all the king's horses, they can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Interesting, isn't it, that they're looking for a man to put it back together again. Now, what happened to Rome? Rome's going to be put together again. It was the historian, the German historian Hoffmann, who wrote this. And will you listen to him? I'm quoting. When Germans and Slavs advanced partly into Roman ground, anyhow into the historical position of the Roman Empire, their princes intermarried with Roman families. Charlemagne was descended from a Roman house. Almost at the same time, the German Emperor Otho II and the Russian Grand Prince Vladimir intermarried with daughters of the East Roman Emperor. This was characteristic for the relation of the immigrating nations to Rome. They did not found a new kingdom, but continued the Roman. And so it continues to the end of all earthly power, until its final ramification into 10 kingdoms. To attempt now to mark out these would be as misplaced as to fix the coming of Christ, with which they stand connected tomorrow or the next day. Now, do you notice here that he says another little horn? And that becomes the key to the entire situation. 10 kingdoms. I do not know what they are, no point in identifying them. But you see, Rome just went into these empires, and it fell apart. And there's going to come now a little horn apart from these, and he's going to take over.